call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
And on the show this afternoon, Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr., which can be heard every Sunday live here out of PJD3 102.7 on beautiful St. Martin, Eastern Caribbean, and the Voice of the Caribbean.net with a rebroadcast every Sunday at 8 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time and on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. And on Bashani Radio in New York, over 2.2 million listeners. You can listen to a new episode of Love and Inspiration, Bashani Radio, at 3 p.m. And of course, listen to many other episodes of the show as you would love to. So today on the show, I have a very lovely guest all the way from the beautiful Anguilla. And I'm talking about someone that I have so much respect for and is doing an amazing job for her country. It gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to invite you to listen carefully as I welcome the newly elected Honorable Deanne Kentish Rogers, who is the Minister of Education and Social Development of Anguilla, former heptathlete and Miss Universe Great Britain 2018. That's right, you heard it. Miss Universe Great Britain 2018. And today on the show, Miss Deanne Kentish Rogers is going to share with you on how to learn to succeed in life through discipline, perseverance, and commitment. So let me go straight over to this wonderful person online right now. Good afternoon to you, Deanne Kentish Rogers. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon to you, Roy. Doing very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Welcome to the show. And first of all, I may just extend a congratulations to you on recently winning the elections over on Anguilla, the beautiful island of Anguilla. And your political party, did an amazing job, as I understood. And want to congratulate you on behalf of myself and family and those listening on St. Martin and around the world.
Thank you very much. I appreciate those kind remarks. And for everyone who's listening out there, I would like to thank you as well for your warm wishes, your prayers. What we've accomplished in this election would not have been possible without the support of others.
Wonderful. And how does it feel actually to, you know, be in a position as such where now you are the newly elected or appointed Minister of Education and Social Development?
Well, it's an honor, and it's a very humbling experience because we have taken over the government at a time and a period of great uncertainty with COVID-19 and the associated impacts on our economy, our people, the health systems. And so while we are overjoyed, we're almost stuck immediately into work to ensure that we can provide a better way forward for Anguillians despite COVID, that we can focus on being solutions oriented and caring for people the best way we know how.
Mm. Yes, it is definitely a task ahead of you as, you know, coming into office and having these challenges worldwide, and of course for your country, having to deal with the challenges that your country faces, and that insight and vision to move forward and take your people forward, that is absolutely a task.
Yes, it is. And it calls for deep reflection and for the ability to analyze and situations very carefully. And it also calls for the type of governance that I believe the entire Anglian electorate has voted for. They voted for transparent governance. They wanted to know that they could be a part of the process of governance. And we sincerely believe that we can get more done when people are a part of the solution. So although we know we have challenges going forward, we're looking forward to solving them with our people, not just for our people.
Can get the solution. So it sounds like you're very much a solution focus, Deanne.
Yes. As much as we might see problems surrounding us, it's always been my view, not just to complain, but to see what we can offer as solutions, because that's where the real work comes, finding out how to solve things, how do we move forward from where we are. And I believe that we can do so if we set our hearts on fixing things rather than complaining about things.
And that's so very key, because some of the times we really focus more on complaining than actually fixing things. And I remember that your campaign status was, or motto was, change can't wait.
Yes, our campaign motto was change can't wait. But it wasn't just a catchy slogan. We were speaking to something a bit deeper. We were talking about the way things were being done in Anguilla. We were talking about the system within which we were operating. And we were talking about how we felt as a people. Because when you exist in any system around the world and you don't see yourself reflected in that system, you often push for change. But usually people push for other people to push for that change for them. And when our team stood up for office, we knew that we were a young team. We were not a team of experienced or prior politicians or representatives. Most of the individuals on our team who stepped forward for office in this election have never been representatives before. And so we were attempting to change the landscape in a very major way, rebuilding our team with only 9 months until the election. Well, we figured out it was 9 months after the former premier announced the election date. So we didn't have a lot of time, but we believed in our message. And we didn't just believe that it was about a change of politicians, a change of the individuals. We also believe that it was a change in doing things. We know that change isn't easy. I think everyone around the world knows that one of the hardest things for us to accept and to do as humans is to change. But we also acknowledge that if we kept on going on the trajectory that we were on, we would eventually create a situation in Anguilla where a lot of people felt as though their voices couldn't be heard, and eventually they would probably just disconnect from the system totally. So we wanted to provide another alternative. We left it open for the people to make up their minds, of course, because we couldn't go into the ballot box with them. And we know that it's going to be a process, but we know that we're here to do it.
And that's so very important, showing up and being there fully, 500%, I would say, being there to do it, because at this point in time, the people of your lovely island needs great leadership. And great leadership comes, of course, with love for country. And from, you know, following you and hearing how you speak, and not only yourself, but, you know, those who you surround yourself and those who you're working with has love for country. And that's so very important when you do want to move forward and move people in a specific direction. Is that correct, Deanne?
I agree with you completely. When we are looking for change, it's not really about self, and it's not really about our own personal interests. It's about what can we offer to our people and putting ourselves up for offer so that the people can make the choice. And ultimately, the choice is not ours. As much as we may offer ourselves, the choice is not ours. We are here as an option, and the people are open to choose otherwise. But we're also here to, we represent and we campaign on certain ideals. We campaign on certain practices, and those are the practices that we intend to continue to do going forward. We've already started with one of our the tenets of our campaign, which is to be transparent. Everything that we see And once we look at it and we analyze, is this information that the people of Angola need to know? Well, we do our utmost to ensure that the people of Angola get that information so that they can make informed decisions. Leadership often calls for making a decision about information, about what you're going to do with information. And while we know that some information is going to be confidential, we also acknowledge that other information that people deem to be very important to their lives, they have a right to know. We were put in this position to represent the people. Mm. We're not put here to represent ourselves.
Yeah, that's so very important. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate that, Deanne. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration with your host, Roy Cotton Jr. here on 102.7 FM. And I do appreciate you tuning in live here with me. And my special guest on the show today is the newly elected Honorable Deanne Kentish Rogers, who's the Minister of Education and Social Development of Anguilla. And she's also a former athlete, which you're going to hear about that a specific area in the, you know, athletics that she, you know, was really active in. And at the same time, which is really a privilege to speak with her, she is also Miss Universe. That's right, Miss Universe Great Britain 2018. Now I know we're in 2020, but it's still a wonderful achievement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to go back a little bit so that you have an idea of who I'm really, really speaking with here from her early years. And she can add on to that, of course, but this is from what I've gathered. So Deanne graduated from, and I don't know, I know of this school because I was not in Anguilla, but you know, this is really nice to share this with you. Deanne graduated from the Albina Lake Hodge Comprehensive School with 10 CXCs in 2010. And then she began her tertiary education in law in 2013 at the University of Birmingham, a prestigious Russell Group university. She completed her degree in 2016 with an LLB with honors. Now, Deanne, I want to also say congratulations to you because you took up a very important task going into law, and really amazing. What has that been like to you as we talk a little bit about your past, given a little bit of your past into today? What has that been like for you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for the congratulations.
You're welcome.
Law has always been around my house from the time I've been a really young woman, because the late Dame Bernice Lake QC, she was a very established lawyer in the Caribbean region. In fact, she was one of the Caribbean's first female QCs, and she was responsible for framing and drafting Anguilla's first constitution. And I wasn't able to escape conversations about law at the dinner table, because my aunt, Joyce Kentish Egan, QC, then went on to become a lawyer. My father was a lawyer. Several of my cousins are lawyers. And it seemed to be a predestined path for me when I was growing up, because I then joined the debating society. We won two major titles. I won best speaker. So there was in my life, along my life, it seems as though I was destined to continue the family trend. And while in the beginning it began as a family affair, I became really passionate about advocating on behalf of others. And that's really the real reason why I ended up in law, as advocacy for others, not just for the title of lawyer.
Mm.
Because there are other professions that I really respect, and I actually wanted to, before I decided to go into law, I wanted to become an economist. But as things would go, I ended up going to the UK and studying law, and it's a decision that I don't regret, and I would encourage those who are passionate about doing so to continue to do so if they're passionate. It is a discipline that calls for a large amount of passion. Because it's very taxing.
I could imagine. But it's also rewarding for when you're able to represent someone. And as you stated before, you know, being the voice. And what I'm gathering from you, Deanne, is that from a young age, you recognize that you were destined to be the voice for many. Also, at the same time, being able to be guided through God to where He would want you to be, to live out your full potential and be the voice for many.
Yes. I didn't know at the time that this was going to be the case, of course. But I'm happy to be here and to have been led here through a series of destined steps, I would say.
Very powerful. Right now, there are many persons listening to you around the world, and of course, on Anguilla and St. Martin, Eastern Caribbean, and in particular, the young people who are listening, because there are many young people too that listen to Love and Inspiration. And as we're getting a little further into this powerful conversation with you, Deanne, one of the things I want to just go back a little bit to, so that persons could understand how important it is to recognize our small or humble beginnings to where we are presently. Because today, unfortunately, you come across persons who they may be in a position, but for some for whatever reason, have forgotten what the past looked like and what they have been through and where they were before where they are today. And just like how the verse says in the holy book, the Bible, you know, you have persons sometimes that they may have seen, and before they go in front of the mirror and they forgot what they look like, or they forgot what it was all about. So let's go back a little bit to your early years, because I'm understanding in your early years, you were not actually doing all of this, but you came from places, honestly, climbing trees and all of that kind of stuff, good stuff as a child. Share with us a little bit about back in those good old days.
Well, as you may have alluded to just now, I grew up on a farm. I spent most of my childhood running around barefoot, playing with my older male cousins, raking up leaves, picking up rocks, watering plants, weeding, because that was the nature of the environment around me. My grandmother was my grandmother put her children to school from agriculture, and my mother went into becoming an accountant later on, but then she subsequently shifted back over to farming and was able to put me through school through a labor of love on the land. And so I grew up with a really strong connection to nature and understanding, I think, very intimately the circle of life and appreciating the circle of life, because a lot of times we don't live in the reality to see how things work, how the world operates in terms of nature. We study how it works in terms of economies and markets and systems. But when we look at nature, there's a lot of instruction that we can get from there. And thankfully for me, growing up so close to nature, so close to agriculture, my family impressed upon me how important it was to stay grounded, to stay secure in the land, in understanding that everything that we have comes from God, and nothing comes from our own doing. And that's kept me humble throughout my life. I've never been one to brag or boast. That's just not a part of my personality or my upbringing. In fact, I would say that my family would disown me if they heard that I was bragging or boasting about it. It's just not a part of my personality. Not to say that you shouldn't take up space and own the things that you have accomplished. You should, but bragging and boasting about it doesn't make a difference to me. I'm living my life for myself and not for others.
That's so very important. You said it right there. You're living your life not for others. So very important, because nowadays we actually get persons who are a bit confused, and it's more living your life for others than actually what God is calling them to live for and to be. Yeah. And then I believe in that way they miss the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you there, Roy, because I mean, especially in this day and age, I think social media has definitely influenced the way we live our lives, the things we do. Although I do understand the power of social media and the ability to share, to create new communities and share new experiences where you may not have had others, I also recognize the danger that it poses in relation to creating what I call a pseudo life, a life online, which is nothing like the real life that you're living, and causing, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect that it causes within you, within what you're putting out about yourself and what you're actually experiencing. And my hope is that once, because we have, I think as a people, we are becoming a lot more aware of taking care of ourselves, the importance of mental health, and prioritizing relationships. I think as we become more aware, then we also become more cognizant of our use of these tools and about living our lives, the lives that we should for ourselves and lives that we can be proud of.
Fantastic. I'm with you fully, Deanne. Following you 500% here on the radio show, as much as everyone else around the world. And we're going to come back onto something very important later on in this powerful conversation, especially for the fact of you being the newly appointed Minister of Education and Social Development of your beautiful island, Anguilla, in terms of what we were talking about with social media and development, etc. But let's go back also to another part of your life that persons may not have an idea about, but you were very heavily involved and was successful in sports. Talk to us a little bit about what were you doing back then in sports some years back?
Well, again, Roy, I grew up in a very athletic family. I think a lot of my influences came from my family background. My mom was a netball player, so was my aunt. My grandmother loved sports, and it's something that I continue to do. I joined the tennis academy when I was in primary school. I left the tennis academy. I started to participate in track and field, although I wasn't that good in the early days. I loved it, so I continued doing it, and I became really good at it. And then I moved into football, which really and truly was the sport of my sport of choice. But obviously, it's a team sport, so you have to depend on you can't just do everything by yourself.
Yes.
And after playing football for a number of years and jockeying between football, track, and volleyball, I decided to track and field. There were a lot of opportunities there I felt that I could hone in on, which I did. I started off in the 400 meters, and then I shifted to the heptathlon, and I became Anguilla's first heptathlete.
Wow.
I won the silver medal at the Central America and Caribbean Championships, and then I went on to win the bronze medal in the pentathlon, which is slightly fewer events,
okay,
at the Kirchner Games. And after being able to get those opportunities and get those medals, I went on to the Commonwealth Games in Scotland. I also did the Commonwealth Games in India, but at that time I was still doing the 400 meters. And it was at the Commonwealth Games actually that my aspirations for further advancement in track and field ended, because I had a really bad knee injury at that point in time. I tore my meniscus in my knee, and that caused me to pull back a little bit from track and field. But most of my life was consumed with athletics, was consumed with sports. I just love it. It made me feel great. I had many friends from track and field from around the world who I still keep in contact with. So it was a great opportunity and something that I still love.
Wow. Amazing. And I'm pretty sure that when you see sports on the TV, you may be busy with things and you say, okay, there's sports. I'm going to watch that. Forget about everything else, correct?
Yep, completely.
Absolutely. You see that? You know, you get your nice cup of, I don't know, lemonade or whatever, and you just enjoy the sports. I mean, it's really amazing to listen to you speak about that, because there are persons out there who are into sports, and you being as an icon, as a, you know, leader, empowering persons, you know, this is a really great opportunity for persons to really feel empowered to continue in sports, and really rise to that, you know, that level, like where you were, even self, you know, onto bringing home the gold, medals, etc., because sports is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Absolutely.
It's a great and empowering, and really big community building activity. So I love sports. I've always loved it, and I will always love sports.
Fantastic. I really, really love speaking to you about this area in your life. And just moving over to another great achievement, and this is what I believe is so important for, you know, individuals to get a grasp of, that, you know, you may have an idea of where you want to go in life, but God really puts you on paths that you never thought you would be on, but it really has a reason why. And back in 2018, there was an amazing experience that you went through, and that was, you know, becoming or being crowned Miss Universe Great Britain 2018. And as I was looking through the history of Miss Universe Great Britain, the first one actually was in 1952. Were you around that time, Deanne? Do you recall 1952?
I was not even in the contemplation of my parents.
Okay. Well, I guess we're in the same boat.
I don't even think my parents were in contemplation by their parents, to be honest.
Well, we're in the same boat because I was not around in 1952. But as far as I look back here and I'm seeing 1952, Miss Universe Great Britain 1952 was Eileen Chase. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about you in 2018. So you do the math. How many years ago was that, many?
I would be able to do the math for 19 this year. Did you say it was?
1952 was the first
1952.
One.
1952. That would have been 66 years. That was from 2018, 66. So 68 years this year.
Wow, look at that. And you had the privilege of in 2018. What was that like for you? Because there was so much news around the fact of you being crowned as Miss Universe Great Britain 2018, a young lady from the beautiful island of Anguilla, also the first colored young lady or lady in that respect. And the news all around, you know, this dreadlocked young lady. What was that like? Because I've seen so many news broadcast about you, been following that. Talk to us for those who are hearing about this for the first time.
Well, it would have been a great experience for me being able to capture that title. As I've said many times, I didn't know. Well, I was aware, as most people who are competing in events where they are the minority, you are aware that you are not the majority, but I was not aware of the significance that my win would actually have. When I entered the competition, I did so just on the basis of seeing where I would go and just challenging myself. But the one thing about me is every time I decide to put my head to something, I'm going in it because I want to win. That's the bottom line for me. I want to win. I will put my head into it. I will put all my time, my energy, everything into getting the win. So while I went into it just to see how it would go, I also went into it because I wanted to win. And fortunately, I was able to capture that title, and from there on, it just created a media storm. And a lot of young women, especially in the UK and Anguilla, reached out to me and said, you know, how much of an inspiration that was for them, because these were spaces that they never imagined themselves occupying. And that's really important, because when it's not normal for you to envision yourself occupying a certain space, then you usually don't try to occupy that space, because what people usually do is they first visualize, and you have to have the courage to venture into something totally unknown to you. If there was no one quite like you who's gone there before. So I understood afterwards what a big moment it was. And I mean, the next year there were significantly more young Black women in the Miss Universe Great Britain competition. And that made me very happy to see that they thought, you know, this is a space where I can exist. This is somewhere where I can get an opportunity to move my platform. And that really was the big part for me. As much as it was an individual achievement, it was a collective achievement in the end. It was the sacrifice that my parents, my family, my friends, my community here in Anguilla, the sacrifices that they made to ensure that I was able to do what I did, created a backdrop for belief, for taking up space, for young women all over the world. And that's what I got out of it. That sense, it's really humbling. And I have a large amount of gratitude to extend to everyone who helped me, who reached out to me during that process. It was a truly humbling experience.
Absolutely. You know, as I listened to you very carefully, Deanne, it is such an amazing achievement. Thinking about it, back in 2018, you were aged then at that time 25. So it's like every 2 years you achieve something amazing, because now you're 27 in 2020.
Yeah. And
So let's see what's going to happen in 2022, God's Spare Life.
I know.
You might be the president of the Caribbean. I'm just messing around. But it's amazing, actually. And I just want to home in on to this, because this is so very important for listeners to understand this, and in particular, young people. Because the first time, actually, I saw your interview is when I was coaching our youth wing, Y2X, from Victoria's Living Foundation. And because they have a program called Fresh. And normally when I coach them, it's about, you know, how they present themselves on radio and TV. And I pulled up your interview that you did. And you are an example for the Y2Xers. And when I told them, you're welcome. And these are young people between the ages of 13 to about 30. And when I told them I was going to speak with you today, they were all excited, and many of them are listening right now. And that goes to show that the influence that you have, the example that you set as a young lady, and you were only 25 then, and today you're 27, and as I look at the headlines here, that is from the Daily Mail .co.uk, with the headlines here, first ever Black Miss Universe Great Britain, barrister, Commonwealth Games athlete, and now Deanne Kentish-Rogers becomes a cabinet minister on the tiny Caribbean island of Anguilla, and she's only 27. Yes. What does that say to you?
I'm still shocked. Shocked in the sense that I know that I worked hard towards this, but nothing that I've achieved in my life I've achieved by myself. And as much as I appreciate that I've done all these things, it is other people who have allowed me to reach here. So whenever I see the headlines, I'm like, oh my word. I keep thinking about the sacrifices that people have made to ensure that I'm here. And so that really keeps me grounded and keeps me humble, because, and this is something I tell people all the time, it's not about the I. It's never about the I. It's about the us.
Very important. It's about the us. And that's what you're demonstrating right now for your island. It's about the us collectively moving together in a time like this. And and that means taking along everyone on board. And that is those who have many life experience, those who are seniors in your country, those are young people who are looking up to you, and being that voice within the theme that you work with, and just really being that example to help persons recognize that they have the opportunity, as long as there's breath in their lungs and God gives them that gift of life every morning, that they have the opportunity, as you are demonstrating, how to succeed in life through discipline, perseverance, and commitment. Absolutely. I'm loving this conversation with you. And do you know, at the end of the day, that this interview that we have together is going to be on demand for persons to listen to anytime, 365 days of the year, a love and inspiration through Bashani Radio in New York. And it's going to be something that persons could always go back to, because you are the catalyst at this point in time. And as you stated before, change cannot wait. And this is a time where change cannot wait. And now, being in the position as the Minister of Education and Social Development, and this has come back to what we were talking about earlier, with today, you know, with social media and all the technology around us, and being bombarded left, right, center with messages here and there, you have to be this, you have to do the other. Of course, that's a lot for our young people, those who are in school. What are your plans or your vision in moving forward in terms of embracing technology, embracing what we have today as tools in the 21st century, but also at the same, same time safeguarding our young people's hearts and minds, even though, of course, they have a mind and free will to think about what they want to do and say. But you're in a very important position, Deanne.
Yes, yes, I am. And it's not a responsibility that I take lightly, because I understand that the decisions that I'm making are going to affect generations of students. And while I love technology, I think it's important, and I think that our young people should have the opportunity to use those tools for their advancements. I believe that it should be done in a balanced way. And that's why I believe in things like integrated STEM. So it's not just about putting technology in the schools as a standalone. It's about actually having the ability to see why we're using the tools. How are they making our lives easier? How are we using these tools for the betterment of humanity? And allowing our students to get really active in that part of technology. When you look at subjects like agriculture, where you see around the world the growing use of technology, how technology has moved agriculture to something that people actually think that they can make an industry out of, they can make money from. Those are the kinds of movements that I want to see in our education system, where we're not just looking at technology as, okay, teach somebody how to type on a computer. EDPM is very important, but I want to challenge our students to use technology as a tool for their own advancement.
Very important. And I'm really happy I asked you that question, because right now we are a very, very important time in our life, and really important decisions has to be made. And not just, as you stated before, the I, but as an us. And that includes our young people, whether they're in Anguilla, whether they're in St. Martin, whether in the USA, or whether they're in Dubai. You know, it's about having everyone on board and making sure that it is something collectively that everyone can benefit from and move the community or the country forward in the right way. And I'm just thinking about, finally, the last two really important things I want to talk to you a little bit about, because as I listened to you throughout this whole conversation, Deanne, maybe you know it, maybe not, but you are a positive disruptor. Now, this year, we recognize that we're in a year of really pure disruption. I don't know if we want to call COVID our friend or not, but that could be a different discussion. But we're in a year of disruption. And why I'm saying that is because, as I recall, LeaderCast, which is the world's largest leadership event that is simulcast from out of Atlanta, Georgia, this year their theme is positive disruption. And I understand that you are one of the speakers that is lined up at the second day of the Leadership Summit of Victoria Slim Foundation that is slated for October 10th at the beautiful Sinsinbay Resort Conference Center. So I want to ask you, as a disruptor as you are, do you believe you're a disruptor?
At the beginning, I didn't think that I was, but I am now embracing the role of disruptor. much more comfortably now. Because I understand that disruption comes in many forms, and there's negative disruption, and then there's also positive disruption.
Right.
And when you look at what's going on around the world, you'll see different examples of different types of disruption. There are many people who would have called President Trump's candidacy and his presidency as a specific kind of disruption. But there'll be various views as to which kind he represents. But disruption essentially is about breaking a system away from its current trends to trends that suit different sides. Positive disruption is to move it from the status quo to something that suits, that's more positively advancing for the whole. We're not just looking at some. Positive disruption is there to provide for the whole. And part of positive disruption is not being afraid to challenge something that's been around for a very long time. In terms of my candidacy, I think that's it's a very good example of positive disruption, because my opponent at the time was, he was a veteran, very well known across the Caribbean region. He's been in politics for 40 years.
I see.
And so my candidacy in and of itself was a disruption. I would claim it as a positive disruption. And I hope that my 5 years in government will fulfill that description of a positive disruption, because the reasons why I stepped forward included to be able to have decision making being more reflective of the entire demographic. A lot of the times, those who are responsible for policy making, they make decisions from their perspective only, and that's dangerous. It's dangerous across the world, and it's really truly the reason why we've seen so much disruption in the world in the first place.
I see.
Because you have a small group of individuals making decisions on behalf of the whole and making decisions for others whose experiences they've never experienced. And so by entering the ring and disrupting it, not only as for someone who's been in the seat for a long time, but as a young woman, which really and truly, I'm the youngest elected minister in Angola's history. And then there's a young lady who's also on my team, who's the youngest elected person to government. So there is room for us, and I think Angola has proven that there is an appetite for some positive disruption.
Absolutely.
And I really hope that the leadership cast, I can continue to show why it's so important to have that kind of positive disruption.
I follow you wholeheartedly. Very, very important. And you have, you know, as you answered, you've given a clear description of what that entails, because I know at the end of the day, being a disruptor is not always welcome or always well,
yeah,
you know, received, because here you come and we are accustomed to this and we're happy to have it this way. And you are absolutely upsetting the equilibrium here.
Yes, of course. And disruption is never easy, because one thing about the status quo is that it has the backing and the support of the system. So the system would have been engineered to allow the status quo to continue. So once you are disrupting the status quo, you'll find there's a lot of backlash. There's a lot of resistance. But despite that resistance and that backlash, you still have to be able to walk clearly towards your goals. And part of what I'm working towards, especially as the minister responsible for education and social development, is creating an education system that is a bit less Eurocentric in terms of its content and its policies, and in terms of social development, looking at it as a whole in terms of proper reintegration of our citizens once they go through the criminal justice system back into our society, not treating them as less than, of really entrenching sports as a part of our community development and probably one of our upcoming revenue streams, because sports has the ability not only to bring people together, but also to bring in revenue. And I don't know, of course, it's still uncertain what's going to happen after COVID-19, but we hope that sports can continue to play a prominent role in the development of individuals throughout our communities and our societies. So it's disruption, really, for me, it's about looking at systems, seeing where they are not doing, where they're failing us, and where they're not doing as good of a job, seeing how we can support them to do a better job. Just like things like the banding system. We have a banding system where we classify students for their ability, you know, band ones, two, three, and fours. And in theory, it's a system that should work well. But sometimes in practice, we do leave people behind. And in a country as small as Anguilla, it's very hard for us to leave people behind, because our one resource is human resource, is our human resource. We need to be able to fix the leaks, fix the leaks with very limited cash resources. So it's disruption, but it's also about creating a more holistic picture for everyone.
I'm listening to you very carefully, and what I'm hearing from you is I'm hearing innovative mind speak. I'm hearing a mind that is innovative, that is creative, and is looking for solutions in this arena or this time that we're in, and in particular for your island, Anguilla. And that, of course, brings me to the point of thinking about, and I'm sure that's what you're going to share more in depth about during the second day of the Leadership Summit on St. Martin on October 10th from Victorious Living, is, you know, how to disrupt the status quo in Anguilla and the Caribbean region and create a socio-economic, political, cultural, and health revolution whereby you're able to create synergy within the Caribbean region to make it as such as make a global impact. And I'm listening to you carefully, and I believe very much so by having the right people around you and being proactive than rather reactive, and that's what has been our downfall, some of us, that we just wait to see what's going to happen next, and then we're all reactive and say, oh my goodness, let's take action now, while it's important to be proactive from before if you have love for country in your heart and in your mind and innovation. I don't know if that's making sense, Deanne.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. And I think it's part of our responsibility as Caribbean nations to really work harder than before. I know there have been attempts made to integrate the Caribbean region, but at this point in time, with the kind of battles that we're facing internationally, I mean, in terms of the regulations that are put upon us, even though we don't have an equal playing field to others, but we have to play according to the same rules as others. So it's always going to be harder for us. And it's going to be much harder when we negotiate as individual island states rather than as a Caribbean entity. And of course, there are a lot of socio problems that we'll have to address, because there's discord within the Caribbean islands themselves. So we have to make a concerted effort to treat those issues, to overcome them as a people, because the challenges that we face, we need one another. We need one another. It's not a question. It's a statement. We need one another.
Absolutely. And I want to just let you know, Deanne, because it's so very important for you to know what the reactions are of the listeners right now that are listening live to you. And I just received a message all the way from Canada. And this is coming in from Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. And this is from an entrepreneur who's listening to the show and stated a great show with Miss Rogers. So this is coming in from Canada to you. And also on St. Martin, I received another message. An impressive and uplifting interview. Anguillians have made the right decision in electing such a dynamic and progressive lady to head the Ministry of Education and Social Development. Great radio program.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome. And, this has been long coming. I know we've been speaking to each other about having you on the show, but, in God's timing, here you are. And it's been an amazing time together. So as we close off, this is what I want to ask you. But before I say that, because you said something very important earlier, and that is where you are right now, coming in at a brilliant and wonderful age of 27. As I said, it looks like it's every 2 years is something that happens for you. And I'm just taking this from the headlines here, with the fact of you coming in and you're now in this position that you are, and the winning aspect of your party and defeating the former premier, which is the Honorable Victor Banks. You said 40 years in there. I'm just looking at what is stated here, and this to show you how the numbers work, because I always look at numbers, so don't mind me on this. But you're 27 and he's 72. Yeah. Look at that. 70. Do you see the numbers turn around? He's 72. And you're 27.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Yes, yes.
But I'm sure everyone thanks him for his time that he served the country. And here you are now with your team.
Of course. Ready to serve.
Ready to serve. So Deanne, seeing that this is also a show that focuses on building stronger relationships and inspiring lives, and I'm sure everyone may be wondering, like, this young lady, does she have time for relationship or such married, or can you just because this is very important, especially for persons who want to make a decision on how they move forward in their life, but also relationships are important. What can you say to those listening out there? Because you are very focused. And what can you say to listeners out there who may be thinking, well, I wonder, is Deanne having time for partner or having time for family? What can you say so you can empower people out there?
Well, I think there's a time and place for everything. And it's okay to prioritize your goals. Right now in my life, I'm prioritizing the country. I'm prioritizing Anguilla. You can create time for things that you believe are really important to you. And if a partner is important to you, you can create time for that. But I truly do believe that when it's your time for your, if you're looking for a true life partner, not just someone to be with, that God will create that person for you, that there's that person for you, and that you will meet that person at the right time, the right space. That person will understand your journey and your process, your thinking. Of course, I'm sure it's going to take work and time and communication, but I'm sure that once that is something that you both prioritize and you both think are important for that particular phase in your life, that can happen. For myself, right now, I'm focusing on the country. And that's not to say that I don't have plans in the future. I do have plans in the future, but right now, my focus is on Anguilla.
Well said. I thank you for that, Deanne. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Especially on a day like this when you could be doing so many things, but you took the time to be on Love and Inspiration speaking to many nations, because you're not only speaking to your beautiful island Anguilla that I have a lot of respect for and have family on there and definitely love to come over again and enjoy some time, but you're speaking to the nations of St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean, Europe, America, all over is listening to your voice. Deanne, is a pleasure. It has been a pleasure having you on Love and Inspiration, and I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait.
Wonderful. Thank you again for being here. God bless you and your leadership and your team.
No problem.
And you're welcome once again. Thank you for being on the show. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to a powerful interview with Deanne. That's right. Deanne Kentish Rogers. And she is the new elected Honorable Minister of Education and Social Development of Anguilla, former hept athlete, and Miss Universe Great Britain 2018. And you heard all from her just a while ago how to learn, and she shared with you actually how to learn to succeed in life through discipline, perseverance, and commitment.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app, we global, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.